Jeremiah 33. Jeremiah chapter 33. It is the portion of Scripture that the Lord has helped me through college. It is the portion of Scripture that the Lord has given me as well for Lewis. It's on the prayer card. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. We'll just read that one verse. Today, really, I just want to challenge you just simply about praying for Lewis. And again, you can put your own congregation here in Newton Abbey. You can put your own life here as well. Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Let's briefly pray. Lord, we thank thee for thy word, and thy word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Lord, we thank thee that the entrance into thy word giveth light. And Father, we pray, O God, just now that we will hide thy word in our heart, that we will not sin against thee. Lord, we pray, O God, for everything that is said, will it be done for thine honour and for thy glory. We pray, O God, for each and every one in this room. Lord, come down, O God, we pray, and stir us, we ask of thee. We pray even for young people in this room, that thou wilt thrust them out into the harvest field, that thou wilt thrust them out into the ministry. Lord, may they hear that call. Here am I, Lord, send me, send me. Lord, each and every one of us, O God, help us to be busy about our Father's business. Lord, undertake, O God, just now, give me help to bring forth this truth for the Saviour's sake. Amen. If you take time to read Jeremiah chapter 32 and chapter 33, you'll find out that Jeremiah is in prison. Jeremiah has faithfully proclaimed the Lord's message that because of the people's sin, because of the people's rebellion against God, that the Lord is going to bring them into captivity, a time when they will be held by the enemy. King Zedekiah is not just too impressed about this message. In chapter 32, verses 1 to 5, he has Jeremiah there placed in the prison. He is shut up. He is bound. He doesn't want to hear this message, that he is going to be taken around with everybody else into captivity. And Jeremiah is there in prison. During this time, in chapter 32, verse 6 on downwards, that the Lord speaks to Jeremiah that a relative will come to him and to sell him a field, and Jeremiah is to buy a field off the relative because it is the right of redemption to buy it. It is Jeremiah's inheritance to buy this field. And though Jeremiah just can't understand, Lord, why you want me to buy this field? The place is about to be taken. The place is about to be destroyed. The enemy is coming in like a flood. Lord, I'm here in prison. I'm hopeless. I'm bound. Lord, there's nothing I can do. And yet, the Lord has asked Jeremiah to buy this field. And isn't it the case? God takes us down ways that we just don't understand. The Lord brings us into situations in our life that we just can't grasp. For our ways are not His ways, and our thoughts are not His thoughts. But we must say, like Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 8, right at the end there of the verse, then I knew this was the word of the Lord. Then I knew I had a word from God. What I'm doing, I know I'm in God's will and God wants me to do this. The path that I'm going down, the Lord is leading me this way. Because there in verse 15 of chapter 32, it says, the Lord says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land. Jeremiah, you are to buy this field because I'm going to take the people down into captivity, and in a future date I will bring them back out again. And when I bring them back out, they will be rebuilt again in this place. Houses and fields and vineyards. I will rebuild them again. I will gather them again. Because I am Jehovah, the covenant-keeping God, and I will bring my people back again. And that's where they're going to go. They're going to go to this field to be rebuilt. And Jeremiah obeys the Lord and does that. Chapter 33, Jeremiah is still in prison. And the Lord calls to Jeremiah the second time. Jeremiah, call on to me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Basically, the Lord saying to Jeremiah, of all that I have done, and all that I said I'm going to do, Jeremiah, bring back my truth before me. Call upon me about my truth. Stand on the promise. Plead the promise, Jeremiah. And as Dr. Curran said years ago, if God has given you a promise, then you have every right by heaven's authority to put your finger on that promise and to plead over that promise until God fulfills it. And here's what the Lord's saying to Jeremiah. I'm going to bring them back out again. And therefore, Jeremiah, you call on to me about what I'm going to do, because I will do it. So I simply want to encourage you today, challenge you about praying for Lewis. And you can apply again your own church here, Newton Abbey. You can apply your own personal situation. Notice, first of all, there is the procedure of prayer. The procedure of this prayer. Call on to me. And very briefly, there's three simple thoughts here. This procedure is in the form of a cry. Because the Lord says, call on to me. And that word call can also be translated cry. Cry on to me. And the word gives out the background that it's a cry in a time of need. Jeremiah, you are in a time of need. You're hopeless, you're helpless. You're in there in prison, you're bound, you're shut up, you're closed in. And the place is about to be destroyed. And there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do anything about it, Jeremiah. The same word is used in Psalm 147, verse 9, where it speaks about the young ravens, that they cry out for food. And if you've ever seen a wildlife program, you've gone to your back garden, you've seen a bird's nest, you'll see the birds there, they'll have their beaks like this here, and they'll be chirping out like that there, because they have a need. And they'll keep chirping, why? Because they have a need, and they'll keep chirping until that need is met. And here the Lord's saying to Jeremiah, you have a need, Jeremiah, and you must call on to me, Jeremiah, in that need. And maybe there's one here today that you have a need as well. You're in a discouraging situation. You feel like Jeremiah. You feel like you're closed in. You feel like you're shut in. You feel like there's just nothing I can do about this situation. Everything is just closing in upon me. Everything seems to be falling around me. And there's nothing I can do. And the Lord says, in that situation, call on to me. Cry on to me in that time of need. Did not the Lord tell the psalmist, in the day of trouble, call on to me, and I will deliver thee. And that day of trouble, it signifies the day of tight things. When your back is against the wall, when you're at a dead end, and you just see no way through, and you don't know what to do, where to turn, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee. You remember when God brought Israel out of Egypt, and He brought them to the Red Sea. And as they were looking behind them, the enemy was pursuing after them to bring them back into bondage, to bring them back into captivity. Either side were the mountains. Before them was the Red Sea. And there just seemed, humanly speaking, no way to go forward. Lord, Moses, it would have been better for us to stay in Egypt and to die there than to die here. Lord, there's no way through. And what did the Lord say to Moses? Tell them to go forward. And you may feel like today that that's you. You're just stuck in the middle. There's a Red Sea before you, and it just seems a troublesome sea, a path that you just see no way through this situation. The Lord will always make a way through. Call on to me. Can I encourage you to call on to the Lord for Lewis? Lewis is in a needy situation. Boys and girls are not taught the gospel. There's no children's work there, so we go there in the will of the Lord to try and start a children's work, start a Bible club. Boys and girls are not taught the gospel in the streets. And I know you can say it's all around the UK here in Northern Ireland, but times we've been there and you would just hear four-year-olds just finally swear out the name of the Lord as a swear name. An outreach when they were there in the summer, which you'll see on the DVD, they were doing outreach and people said to them, I don't believe in God. You give them a track and they'll run after you. Take that back. I know at least here in Northern Ireland, there's still a thing when you give someone a track, maybe they'll take it off you. But there, they just know nothing to do with it. And there's a need in Lewis. Can I encourage you to pray for Lewis? Pray for the need here in Newton Abbey. As well, not only is this the procedure of a cry, but it's also in the procedure of a command. Because in the original, this word, call on to me, is in the imperative. And therefore, the Lord's saying to Jeremiah, "Here, Jeremiah, this is not something I think you should do. This is not, Jeremiah, when you've done everything else, maybe you could try this." No, the Lord's saying to Jeremiah, "In your need, you cry unto me, you call unto me, and you do it now, Jeremiah. Because you are my prophet. I sent you there to stand in the gap. You are there, Jeremiah, to plead for the people, to plead on all I have got to do for them." Jeremiah, plead, pray, do it now, don't delay. Take up that duty, be that watchman, Jeremiah. Stand in the gap, don't lose hope, don't lose the guard, don't let the guard down, but keep on praying, Jeremiah. And can I encourage you, stand in the gap for Lewis. Stand in the gap for Newton Abbey. The boys and girls that have come here today, you may be the only people to pray for those boys and girls. You who are Sunday school teachers, you may be the only person who prays for that child. I didn't grow up in a Christian home, but we had a lady next door to us who went the Sandown Road, Molly Kyle, and she came into my parents years ago. Not tell you the years, but years ago anyway. And she said, "Do you mind if I take your children to Sunday school?" Now, I know back years ago maybe there was that freedom to do that, but nonetheless she did that. And she brought us to Sandown. And therefore, we could say out of the whole street, she was the only one who was pleading for us, praying for us. And you may be the only one who prays for your neighbour, who pleads for those children. Maybe there's one today, and you're praying for them, and they are not saved. And you prayed for them, you have spoken to them time after time, and they're still not saved. Stand in the gap still for them. Don't let down the guard. But take that duty. Pray for them. Because when we teach the boys and girls and other things, we're not just it's not just one day a week, if I could say it like that, where I've taught them and I'll see them again next week. And then when they come in, you look through the names again and try to say, "Who are you again? Who are you again? Who are you again?" But we are to pray for them every single day. Stand in the gap for Newton Abbey. Stand in the gap for Lewis. Also, not only is it a cry, a command, but it's also continuous because it's in the present tense. And that means it's continuous. That means, Jeremiah, I don't want you just to call upon me once and then forget about it. But all the time, Jeremiah, continually cry unto me, Jeremiah. Continually pray unto me. Continually call unto me, Jeremiah. Call unto me continually. And maybe you're through a hard situation and you feel like giving up. And the Lord says to you, call on to me continually about this same situation. Oh, it might have got worse since last time. But continually pray to me. I get my wee dig in here now, if I may just. You may have got one of these here. I hope you have one of these prayer calendars. Maybe you use these, I don't know. But it is for our denomination. Ministers get these in the week of prayer and they give them out. It's the prayer calendar for our denomination. It covers basically every day of the month for the whole year. So basically in our home, our devotions for our boys during our quiet time, we would pray, we were praying for that particular day, but we would also show them the prayer card. So who you're praying for, and this is what they look like. Because sometimes you forget who you're praying for. Maybe as a missionary comes, there's a big hype that night. You pray for them that night. Maybe you'll pray for them the night after. Maybe the night after. But maybe something will come the next week. And we stop praying for them. And then the only time we do pray for them is when they come back 3 years, in 3 years' time. And another deputation, you walk in, "I knew there was something I had to do. Pray for you." And we forget. People have told me that all the time, and that's fine. But if I can encourage you to help you continually call on to the Lord. If you receive one of these at the week of prayer for this year, or even for last year if you have it, on the 26th of each month there, it says, pray for the mainland churches, England, Scotland, Wales, and Isle of Man. And then when you do that there, and you hit England, then if you lift up our prayer card, and you put the two together, that's who you're praying for, and this is what they look like. And if you do that with anybody, Stephen Miller, Joy, or whoever want to say, this is who they're praying for, and this is what they look like. And if you follow this every single day, then you are praying for the missionaries each month, continually praying for the work. And then you can be like our boys when they go to the Easter Convention and they see the missionaries, they can see, "Oh, a real-life missionary!" And they're all excited, and you can do that as well. The procedure of this prayer, don't give up praying. Don't give up praying for Lewis. Don't give up praying for Newton Abbey. Don't give up praying for the loved one you're praying for. My family are still not saved. And I'm praying for them that the Lord will save them. Pray continually. Secondly, briefly, there is not only the procedure of this prayer, but there is the promise of this prayer. I will answer. I will answer, Jeremiah. Notice what it says there. Verse 1 of chapter 33. Moreover, the word of the Lord. And here it's the name Lord in capital. It's Jehovah. It is the covenant-keeping God. The one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The one who does not change. And therefore, as the one who does not change said to Jeremiah, just as I will bring them into captivity, so I will bring them out again, because I am Jehovah. I will do it, Jeremiah. But you cry on to me about what I am going to do, because of who I am, Jehovah, the covenant-keeping God, because of my great plan of redemption, because of the cross work. And that's why we go to Lewis. It is because of Calvary. It is because there is much people in that place. It's because of the blood shedding. It's because Christ has died for sinners that we can go into all the world and preach the gospel. It is because of the work of redemption that when we pray, Lord, build thy church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He says, I will answer. Because he answers always on the ground of redemption. He answers on the ground of the blood. And therefore, when you're pleading for souls to be saved, I will answer. Because I am the covenant-keeping God. I will bring them back. I will rebuild them. I have my covenant with them. They are my people. And Jeremiah, you call on to me continually. Because I am Jehovah and I will answer. And therefore, we have every right to plead the promise. Lord, rend the heavens and come down. Pray here for Newton Abbey. Lord, sweep through Newton Abbey. Breathe on Newton Abbey again. Lord, send us the showers of blessing. Lord, surely it's time for Thee to work. Send a revival, O God, to my soul and to my heart. Lord, I don't want just to come here to sit for an hour, to hear, walk out again, and nothing be changed. Lord, I want to know the power of God on my soul. Lord, move in my heart. Send revival to me. That you could say, like Jacob, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Lord, bless me indeed. Lord, move in my soul. Because I will answer. Stir up my heart, Lord. Change my Bible reading. Change my prayer time. Change my wife. Change my family. Change my husband. Change my children. Change this church. Set my preacher on fire. Oh, Lord, you said, call on to me, and thou wilt answer. It was said during the revival in the Isle of Lewis, and this is a different Lewis now. This is up in Scotland now, so in case you're wondering. Isle of Lewis. And the people had got together to pray. And one man at that prayer meeting, as he was praying out, he was quoting on the grounds of Isaiah 44, verse 3. Lord, you've said in your word that you will pour water upon him that is thirsty and upon the floods upon the dry ground. And as of yet, Lord, you have not answered prayer. As of yet, Lord, you have not fulfilled your word. Lord, do it for thine honor and thy glory. And that night, it was said that God came and sent a great revival to the Isle of Lewis. And therefore, when you're praying for God to move, when you're pleading the promise, you're not doing something that you have made up. Because Jeremiah was praying on what God had told him. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. I will do this, Jeremiah. Therefore, Jeremiah was praying on the ground of Scripture. I will answer. And if I could just, not to take it out of context, but if I can just simply get to the cross. You're here today and you're not saved. You're in a needy position because you're lost. You're without Jesus Christ. You're hopeless, you're helpless. You cannot save yourself. There's nothing you can do to get yourself into heaven. You are in a needy situation. And therefore in the Scripture, you are commanded to come to Jesus Christ. as His creation. You are commanded to flee from the wrath. You are commanded to come to Him and be saved. And therefore, if you call upon Him, because whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you cry out unto Him, and He will save you. I will answer. Coming to the end, there is not only the procedure of this prayer, the promise of this prayer, but the provision of this prayer. I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Notice some thoughts here. There is the announcement of this provision. I will show thee. That word show there, it signifies to announce by word, to make public, to declare. And here is the Lord saying to Jeremiah, I will show thee what I will do. I will declare to thee. I will publicly demonstrate what I will do to thee. How? Because remember, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. He spoke to Jeremiah all that He would do. And He would do it publicly. He would declare it testifyingly. Because He would bring them back again. And He would do it before them. And therefore, Jeremiah is praying on what God said He would do and will do. And what does the Lord say to us? In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And we want the land healed. We want the Lord to move. But it will be by my people humbling themselves and praying and seeking my face. Why is that important? Because in Lewis, as we've had the open airs in the past, we've had people run over this. And you may get this here, I don't know. They'll say to you, if you want that church over there filled, this is what you need to change. This is what you need to bring in. This is what you need to take out. This is what you need to stop saying. This is what you need to start saying. This is what you need to start saying less of. This is what you need to start saying more of. This is who you now need to start associating with. This is the type of church that you need to also bring in. All these different gimmicks. If you want this church filled, you have to do this and that and this. And we have to say no. Because it's by the word and by the word of God alone. Did not Paul say, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel? Did he not say as well, we preach Christ and Him crucified? Did not John the Baptist say, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of this world? It's by the word and by the word of God alone. And therefore, we don't need inventions. We don't need to have firemen coming for that day on a Sunday to tell people, if you come to church, you can have a ride around the community in the fire station. No, it's by God's word and God's word alone as well. Not only the announcement, but the ability. Because great things. And that word great means beyond human limitation. Basically what you cannot do, the Lord saying to Jeremiah, I can do. With man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Jeremiah, you just can't grasp what's going to happen. You're there, you're bound, it's going through your mind. Lord, but you said you're going to do this, you want me to buy this field, and you said you're going to bring them back. But Lord, all these things, you can imagine going through Jeremiah's mind. And maybe God's spoken to you about something. Or put you through a challenging path, and your mind's just working overload. Lord, but what about this? And Lord, what about if this happens, or if this comes up? And the Lord says, Jeremiah, don't you worry about that. Because you just do what I've asked you to do. And I'll do the rest. I'll show you great things. I'll do great things. Jeremiah prays on the past ground. Because you look there in chapter 32, verse 17. Jeremiah is in prayer. Verse 17. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm. And there is nothing too hard for thee. Lord, there's nothing too hard for thee. And Jeremiah begins to pray on past ground. And don't we do that as well? We pray on the ground of 1951. Lord, what you did in the past, do it again, but do greater. maybe there are founding people here in this church, or you were here when this church was established, and you can look back to those days. Lord, I was there at the start. Lord, do greater than what you did back then on the grounds of 1859, on the grounds of the revivals in the Bible. Lord, as the nations were changed, Lord, do it again. Why is that important? Because if you look there in chapter 32, verse 20, Jeremiah is praying about what God did when he brought them out of Egypt. And it says there in chapter 32, verse 20, which has set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, even unto this day, and in Israel among other men, and has made thee a name as at this day, and hath brought forth thy people Israel out of the land of Egypt, with signs and with wonders, with a strong hand, with a stretched out arm, and with great terror. And again he goes on, but he's showing them, Lord, all you did in the past when you brought Israel out of bondage. Lord, you did great things. Because in Exodus chapter 14, verse 31, you have that account given when God did bring Israel out of Egypt. And in Exodus 14, verse 31, you have there that when he brought them out of Egypt, he brought them to that sea. That sea then was divided up. They marched through that sea to the other side. And then as the enemy was approaching them, he brought that sea crashing down on the enemy. And only God could have done that. Man could not have done that. Moses could not have done that. The people couldn't have done it. But it says in Exodus 14, verse 31, then Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And that word great is the same word used there in Jeremiah 33, verse 8. I'll do great things. Only God could have done that day in Egypt. And only God will send revival to Lewis. It'll not be by me. It'll not be by anything that I've done. The Lord steps in here to Newton Abbey. It'll be because of the Lord and the Lord alone. I'll do great things for Newton Abbey. Call on to me. I will answer and show thee great and mighty things. Let us close here by simply speaking about the abundance of this provision. The abundance of this provision, great and mighty things. We're not going to the word mighty. Again, if you march in your Bible, it can be translated hidden things or wondrous things. But in closing, let me close with this illustration. Years ago, Charles Spurgeon, that great man of God who preached in the Tabernacle there in London to 9,000 and 10,000 every single week. Times he had to tell people, if you've been here for 3 weeks in a row, don't come back the week after. Let people who've been trying to get in, come in. And he wanted to go down to Bristol to see the work there of George Mueller. News had got about that George Mueller had an orphanage of 300 people. And he was expanding it, another 700 children, and it would have taken up to 1,000. Well, this man came to Spurgeon. Mr. Spurgeon, I've heard that Mueller is extending the orphanage. And you're going down there. And I have concerns about this. Mr. Spurgeon, you need to tell George Mueller that he needs to reconsider this. I mean, 300 children. It's just hard enough. And they're struggling every single day. But Mr. Spurgeon, you need to tell him he needs to stop this. Consider it. And he went on again about different things. And Spurgeon agreed with him. And I obviously, folks, I wasn't there. So I'm just quoting here the quote as best I can. But Spurgeon said, when I go down, I'll tell him. And you know the stories about George Mueller and those orphanage and the orphans that he had there, of how God did great things, if you've ever read his biography, of how he said he still, every day, he had the children going out to pray for food, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And they would pray, Lord, we give thee thanks for what we are about to receive. And there was no food in front of them. And there was no food in the back in the kitchen. And there was no chef making anything. Because there was nothing to make. But he would still have them pray, Lord, we give thee thanks for what we are about to receive. And in those days, the Lord supplied their need in wonderful ways. One account he gives that back in those days, the milkman came with the wooden cart and the horse. And as the cart was coming around the corner, the wheel got stuck in the pavement. And it snapped. And the cart fell down. And the man ran over to the orphanage and he rapped on that door. He said, excuse me, this bread and milk's about to go to waste. Would you be able to use it? And Mueller took it in and he blessed the Lord. And he prayed over his life for Psalm I think it's 34. There is no want of them that fear him. And he blessed God for needs met every single day. And when Spurgeon finally came to the orphanage, he was just about to tell Mueller of all the concerns when George Mueller ran up to him. "Oh, Mr. Spurgeon, you wouldn't believe what God has done for us. We had no orphanage, but we prayed that God would send us children. And God sent us 300 children. And Mr. Spurgeon, we prayed that God would meet every single need. And Mr. Spurgeon, God has met every single need for the children. And Mr. Spurgeon, we started to pray that God would give us 700 more children. And Mr. Spurgeon, God has given us 700 more. And he's also supplied the need. He has done great things." And he went on to say that God had raised up that orphanage to show the world that God hears and God answers prayer. And may it be through your prayers, through your giving, that the Lord will once more raise up a work there in England to show the world, to show Lewis, that God hears and God answers prayer. That orphanage now, as you may know, is turned into Bristol College University. The other part is Mueller House, and I was there taking photographs. I walked over to the house and I said to the man, I said, "Well, do you know what this place is?" He said, "Yes, it's my house. I live here." I said, "Do you?" I said, "What about these other people?" He said, "They live here too. It's all apartments now." And I began to speak about George Mueller and all that there. And the man just hadn't got a clue who he was or anything about him. And how quickly England has forgot of all those things that the Lord has done. May the Lord be pleased to raise up the standard again and move in our day, because he has said, "Call on to me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." We'll close, we'll sing our closing hymn.